Got 15 minutes to spare?
Then you've got time for Extra Easy, our new short, sharp sister show to The Speakeasy with Annie and Carla.
Well, Annie, here we are. Extra Easy. How are you?
Extra Easy. Doing extra well today, thank you. Actually, good. I'm recovering from a little bug. Everyone seems to have a bug at the moment. I managed to get mine, so on the recovery road for that. But otherwise, good. How about you? You've been travelling recently?
Yes, it's Monday after the week before, and that was the Australasian Viral Hepatitis Elimination Conference in Cairns. So we planned this Extra Easy specially so we could reflect a bit and
on what happened there.
On what happened. And and it was good. I had the university-sponsored microphone with me, and could go and bother people during lunchtimes and breaks and ask them to reflect on the elimination agenda, such as it is, and get some definitions. So we've got some of these Vox Pops to listen to and discuss today.
Good. Yeah, I think timely for the elimination, you know, because we've just had World Hepatitis Day, as people know, and this whole issue of elimination, you know, the whole kind of concept of it, hey, has been really sort of starting to really get out there now and talked about more. But I guess the extent to which people really understand what that's all about.
And this is the first elimination conference that Australia or Australasia has had, and you know, it sits in this context of universal treatment access. So it was a really interesting time to hear a little bit more, in a little bit more detail, well, what it is, and that's where we're going to start with one of these Vox Pops, but then how do we do it? So it's really interesting conversation. So should we start with the the first of it, which is Rebecca Guy from the Kirby Institute, who's going to tell us exactly what elimination is in this context. So you gave, like, one of the great things was what is elimination, and you gave such a clear, sterling, crystal explanation of it, because people are kind of tossing it around all over the place. So what do you reckon about it? Let's just do Hep C elimination in Australia, because, you know, you spoke across so many things.
It's an important topic. Defining elimination is an important topic when we're going forward. Many people think elimination is about getting rid of all the infections, but what we're actually talking about is reducing the level. So, and we need to qualify it as elimination as a public health problem.
So I wasn't even clear until you put that slide up saying, you know, eradication is the is no more transmissions. And that's not what we're working towards. It's the public health challenge bit of this definition.
Right. Yeah, so there's three components. Eradication actually means no cases in the world, and then you can remove your vaccination or your treatment and that there'll still be no cases, and that's something like smallpox. Elimination is more about in Australia where there's no new transmissions, and that's going to be really hard to achieve. But what we're actually talking about is control, which is reducing levels by, for example, 80% of new cases. WHO have called that elimination as a public health problem, but what we know it is actually control. So going forward, we need to talk about it as elimination as a public health problem. Otherwise, we're setting us up with a really hard task to achieve.
Brilliant. So, Annie, what do you think of Rebecca's piece there?
Yeah, so, like, the first interesting part is the definitions that she spoke about. You know, speaking about that idea of eradication, you know, which is kind of the total elimination of new cases globally. And she referred to something like smallpox, where, you know, you can sort of put away your vaccinations and your treatments, they're not needed anymore, it's gone away, you know.
It's
so
all done.
Talking about Hep C in this case, but actually eradicating Hep C. And just that maybe the confusion with that and something like elimination, which she was sort of stressing is, okay, you know, more about sort of eliminating the public health problem that hepatitis C is. So reducing, I think in the Australian case, it's reducing levels by 80% of new cases over by the time the targets are due to be met.
I went and did a bit of homework, right? And and I've got that we've got 90% diagnosed, 80% treated, 90% reduction in incidence, and 65% reduction in mortality from Hep C. So that
I mean, that's a big job in itself.
isn't it? What,
you know? I mean, setting aside eradication for a minute, I mean, just this elimination agenda as public health problem.
Yeah.
It's big work.
Yeah, and that's for Hep C, and they're similar for Hep B, which, you know, is a whole other conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But the what I... because people just use this shorthand of elimination in the context because, you know, we've got this treatment access and we're one of the leading distributors of needles and syringes in the world, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so elimination is just this easy shorthand. But I love the distinction between the technical definition and the working definition or the lay definition of it. And I think we need to get a bit tighter with our language.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, really sharing that understanding about what is the task at hand.
Mm.
And as, you know, Rebecca indicated, just how difficult that actually will be, you know, that just sort of, I guess it really reminds me of that issue of, you know, there's no quick fixes in this space, you know.
Yeah.
And, yes, we do have these new treatments that are fantastic and it's great that we're able to provide the kind of access to those treatments that, you know, many countries are, you know, really only dreaming of. And that's all great and that will have a huge impact, will continue to. But, you know, now the hard work really begins, doesn't it, in terms of reaching the people who really need most need to have access to those treatments, and that is people, of course, who are current injectors, because if you're looking to have a public health impact, it's all about future transmissions, isn't it? And getting that background prevalence down. And I guess it made me think, you know, that we really have to remember in this new era of new treatments about primary prevention still, you know, and that we still do have, you know, a big job to do there to make sure that people have access to clean injecting equipment and the information they need to, you know, ensure that new infections are reduced in, you know, through all the range of mechanisms we can do that, including primary prevention, and, you know, that people will continue to inject and new injectors will continue to come in, and that we did grow this epidemic at some point back in the past.
Yeah.
You know, it did come from low levels of infection to the levels that we have now. So we're always going to have to remain really vigilant on this, as we do with HIV, for example, if it's not eradicated.
And that's such an interesting point because most of the conference was about expanding models of care for treatment. And, you know, the Greg Dorf, also from the Kirby Institute, presented some modelling work about if we have different rates of treatment holding everything else the same, when will we, when will we reach these elimination as a public health challenge targets? And, you know, that was – so it depended – it varied on the number of people treated. But say we aim to treat 20,000 people a year, that's, for example, 100 clinics doing 200 people each or 200 clinics doing 100 people each and all the variations in between it. That's a lot of throughput. And we saw these terrific numbers in 2016, which were about – it was more than 30,000 people treated in the 9 months of 2016 or 10 months of 2016. But already the numbers have dropped. So – a lot of the other vox pops, which we probably won't have time to play them all, was about, well, now what? How? How do we push these people through treatment? And I think the next one we're going to play is Sione Crawford, who works for Hepatitis Victoria at the moment but has a long history working in the drug user movement. So he also reflected on the primary prevention stuff that, that you mentioned just before. So shall we have a listen to Sione?
Great. Yeah, let's do that.
So, Sione, what do you think about the elimination agenda?
So I probably swing pretty wildly between optimism and pessimism. So when you're at conferences like this and talking to clinicians and looking at numbers, it looks really optimistic, and that's something, I mean, I would love for us to be able to eliminate Hep C in Australia. But then when I go back to work or I talk to friends and talk to the community, I feel much more pessimistic. So 18 months, 16 months later, we still get people ringing Hep Victoria who have no idea where to get access to treatments. I still talk to people I know or I haven't seen for a while, or people in prison that I work with, or people who inject drugs that I'm working with, who still don't realise that they are eligible for treatment. And these are people who are in touch with services, and I think that if those people are confused, then we've got some problems. I also think that we've got to be really careful not to make the mistake, or not the mistake, but we've got to be really careful not to do what we tend to do sometimes with NSP, I think, which is think very much about widespread access, but don't think very much about getting deeply into community. So numerous people I know and talk to don't go anywhere near needle and syringe programs to access clean syringes, for instance. They get them through friends or through dealers or through pharmacies. And there are various reasons for that. But given that we haven't been able to make a dent in that 15% sharing rate over the last few years with the NSP, yeah, 10 years, the NSPs, there's obviously some barriers there around access, and I think that could really easily be translated into the Hep C treatment sphere, probably more easily. And I just worry that there's going to be a hard floor that we reach, and the people who are going to miss out are the most marginalised and vulnerable, not people who haven't injected for 30 years, but people who inject this morning and still believe that they're not able to access treatment. And these are the people, obviously, without wanting to pathologise, who are also at most risk of transmitting Hep C as well in their community. And it just worries me that when we can't even get it together to get an NSP in prisons, can't get it together to get below 15% sharing rates with a free Hep C, free NSP program across the country, that some of these issues are going to be replicated.
Well, Annie, there was quite a few things to unpack from Sione's statement there. What did you hear?
Absolutely, fantastic. Yeah, well, look, I thought it was really interesting in the first instance you making that sort of optimism, pessimism comment. And I so know where he's coming from. You're sort of in those rooms, in those kind of rarefied environments, if you like, of conferences and clinicians and the figures, he actually, and the numbers, I think he said, you know, that you get really optimistic about things. And that, to be fair, is the environment that most people working in the sector are kind of, you know, exposed to most of the time.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the numbers and the kind of the predictions and the modelling and, you know, getting excited about that. And that's fantastic. It's great. But as he said, you know, the pessimism kicks in when he goes back to work, talks to friends, talks to people, the community, you know, the people who are affected, people who are living with hepatitis C, who haven't been treated, people who are current injectors, people in prisons, you know, that's when the pessimism kicks in. And I just think there's a really nice a nice way of sort of reflecting the, this kind of the challenge before us, perhaps, you know.
Yeah, and he raised the NSP issue and the sort of stubborn receptive syringe sharing rate that has been on the books for a decade of 15%, as reported in that Australian Needle and Syringe Program survey. And the kind of contrasting of the wide versus the deep NSP, I thought that was a really interesting idea to unpack a bit more too.
I agree, you know, because that sort of, you know, broad level sort of servicing the people who are coming in the door, that's really important, of course, but it is sort of, you know, to a large extent sort of reaching the people who are easy to access and therefore have access to information and that sort of thing. And there are challenges even, as he identified, ensuring those people are accessing treatment if they want to, and also importantly ensuring they have ongoing access to primary prevention. But, you know, then you sort of take that out to that next level of, well, those who never come near a needle and syringe program, aren't on pharmacotherapy, you know, that sort of thing, that there's a real challenge. And perhaps with something like hepatitis C, are not ill, are not, you know, manifesting obvious symptoms of their hepatitis C. And so the motivation to sort of make their way to a health system that sometimes, let's face it, that perhaps haven't had great experience with can be really tricky. So, you know, I think he found a nice way to articulate some of those kind of the challenges before us and how you can kind of flip around in how you're feeling about how we're going with that, you know?
Yeah. And this makes me, I didn't get a statement around this particular topic I'm going to raise now, but it was presented in one of the presentations from Cairns. And part of the reason for choosing Cairns was that Cairns decided to be Hep C free by 2020. And that prior to 1st of March last year for Hep C treatment, they did a whole lot of getting ready for it work. Mm. And they've done all outreach into all sorts of things and doing great work. And they had one of their peer workers present.
Peer educators, yeah.
And she said you need something along the lines of you need to recognise the specific skills of specialist staff like peer workers.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's just time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, well over time. But, you know, we've been talking about peer education for so long. It's been under-resourced. Yep. So long, it's clearly a key to
absolutely.
This whole Hep C question. And when are we going to get the message? Eh?
Yeah,
and invest in it.
And
properly.
In all the other Vox Pops that we won't have time to play today, I press people on. Oh, well, how are we going to do this? And
you know,
well, we need to reach into these communities and that communities and this community. And okay,
yeah,
well,
but no
how
one's
do we
saying,
do that?
How do you do that? Yeah. You do that through peer education. Yeah, peer based support.
Yeah.
Peer ed. Peer,
and it was
peer-based approaches. Yeah.
Interesting to contrast, because on the clinical side, they're saying, you know, you need to move from specialist tertiary prescriber to general practitioner.
Yeah.
But I think on the community side, we need to move to specialist workers who can access this network of people, and then another person who can access another network of people or
That's
networks,
right?
And
that
I wouldn't want that to be lost in this, like, let's get it out to everyone. To get it out to everyone requires that coverage versus depth concept that Sione was reflecting on as well.
Absolutely. And getting to the right people, you know, and I don't mean that in a kind of pejorative sense. I mean, you know, if we really are going to meet the targets with hepatitis C, we've got to be treating people who are current injectors.
Mm.
That's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
And unless we're reaching those people, we're just not going to reach these targets. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of interesting. We're at a time now where we're going to have to confront some of the things that perhaps have been able to be stepped around a little bit until now. And I think it's a good thing that we're actually having to confront this very issue of the peer workforce and how do we build the capacity of the peer workforce to take on the role that people are ready and willing to take on but just often don't have the capacity to do.
Mm.
And it's fully time to do that. And unless we do that, we really won't see the gains over the next few years in particular that are going to be needed to, stop what has become a bit of a plateauing in the treatment figures. We'll start to really decline, I think, unless we take up that challenge properly and resource our peer-based organisations and our peer educators in various contexts and roles to do the job they want to do.
Yeah, well, I wanted to do a shout-out to Carla and Rhonda and Kathy and Darren and the rest of the team at Cairns for they did such a fantastic human presentation of what they do and how they do it and why they do it. It was great. And also they're running a fundraiser to get to the next viral hepatitis conference. So they've got these terrific cards with photos taken of from people in the sector, and it's on their Facebook group if you find Cairns Hepatitis Action Team. Yeah,
maybe.
On Facebook you'll find them. So
perhaps we could put a link. I don't know whether we can, but if we can.
Okay, we'll sort it out. That's
see what we
might
can
be
do.
A bit beyond me, but maybe someone else very clever.
someone who knows those sorts of things could help us out. That's fantastic. Good on them, hey?
Yeah.
And don't those presentations just often bring conferences alive, I reckon?
You know?
They are often the moments. Not to say, you know, that other people's presentations aren't great. They are.
Yeah.
But often those ones that just really get everyone to just remember the humanity in the given issue can be really powerful.
Yeah. So, you know, if people want to go and look on Twitter, it was the hashtag AVHEC17 to follow, and you'll see all the photos of slides and all sorts of things up and around to have a look at the sort of main conference themes on that.
Great. Well, thank you for your roving reporting.
It was a lot of fun, and thanks to everybody who indulged me.
Yeah.
Particularly
and
when
sorry we couldn't play everybody's
things,
but, you know, at least we've kind of got some of the key themes, which is good.
Good.
All right. Well, that's probably us for an extra easy, I reckon.
I think
short and sharp and sweet.
Yep.
But, yeah, Okay, we'll be checking out soon on another speakeasy, I guess.
Yes.
But in the meantime, stay safe, stay well. See you soon.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
For more information about this podcast, our guests, and upcoming episodes, head to http://csrh.arts.unsw.edu.au.